Steve has been what? DJ, sports announcer,
extraordinaire,
baseball broadcaster.
You were a DJ?
Yeah.
Don't look so surprised.
Not really. We had a radio station in our dorm that the power was, it was powerful enough to be heard among throughout the entire
all throughout
quad.
The first and second floor.
Yes. Third floor was a little spooky.
All 17 rooms.
So, yeah.
So he was famous.
Where'd you go to college?
Rolla. Yeah.
Which is now named what?
Missouri University of Science and Technology.
The city's still named Rolla, but he didn't go to, he went to college in Rolla, but not at the
Istanbul.
City.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the elders meeting after show where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
Welcome to our second episode of the Piney Pastors Podcast. We have all four pastors here, Jason Myers, Brian DeLay, Nathan Smith, and Steve Hopp. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why we chose the book of Ephesians for our next sermon series. We're going to start that series on the first Sunday in March.
March 5th.
And Jason Myers is going to kick it off with an introduction. And Jason was... good enough to put together the preaching schedule for this and to split the book up into the different small passages that we would preach each week. And so he's done a lot of study already in the book of Ephesians, and so we'll probably rely on him a lot during this chapter or during this episode. But first
chapter
of all,
in our lives.
Exactly. What were some of the reasons that you guys had for just feeling like Ephesians would be the book that we needed to preach through next? Nathan?
Well, it is
because it isn't
Christian scripture. Well, actually, that's part of
that
it.
That is part
that,
of it.
That Ecclesiastes, as you so eloquently put it on Sunday, is kind of depressing. And
only
Ephesians
from under the sun.
Is encouraging. Yeah, that's true. From the under the sun perspective, which is the primary perspective of the book of Ecclesiastes. So it is a tough pill to swallow in some ways. And Ephesians is encouraging in many ways as it just reminds us of the beauty of the gospel and God's incredible grace towards us. And that's there in Ecclesiastes, but not as clearly. And then also, Ecclesiastes is Old Testament, and particularly Old Testament wisdom literature. A lot of it's poetic. All of those things make it a little harder for most people to access, meaning the language, even the metaphors. They're just not anything that we're familiar with. The poetic nature makes it, since I think a lot of people are like you, Steve, and don't necessarily care for poetry, although most songs are poetry, so if you like music, you actually do like poetry. But poetry that's not set to music is not something that most people are familiar with, and so just even that aspect of it makes it harder for people to feel like, okay, I'm understanding what this book is saying. Yeah, top shelf. Mm-hmm. Not that Ephesians is bottom shelf, but it is the language, the even I think the way that Paul, he has some long sentences, but the way that he thinks is more in line with our Western way of thinking, logically building an argument, whereas it seems like Ecclesiastes is more circular and, you know, coming back to things. And so I think it'll just be easier for people to understand. It won't be as much of a struggle to, it'll be a struggle to receive some of it and to feel the weight of it. And there are things that will be difficult to understand, but just from a kind of a language.
Be different challenges.
It's closer. Yeah.
We often talk about wanting to preach from the entirety of the Bible, or what's that phrase you use, Jason, sometimes? We want to preach the whole
counsel of God.
Yeah, the whole counsel of God.
And by the way, it's Paul's phrase from Acts 20. I didn't want to act like that's my phrase or something.
That's a great phrase, Jason.
Good work, Jason.
thanks.
Yes. So, Brian, talk about that a little bit. Why do you think that's important for us to do?
Preaching the whole counsel of God?
Yes.
Preaching the whole counsel of God. I think we have a tendency to focus often on our favorite doctrines. Some people focus on God's grace to the exclusion of other things, to the exclusion of God's wrath. People focus on eschatology, on end times studies, to the exclusion of other things.
Like Ecclesiastes, death and suffering.
Exactly.
Justice.
And so it's important. If we're going to have a solid understanding of the gospel, solid understanding of what God has done through Christ, then we need to preach the whole counsel of Scripture. We need to preach God's wrath. We need to preach God's mercy. Otherwise, you have a gospel that is trimmed down to the point where it's no longer the gospel. And that's one of the reasons I like Ephesians so much, is because Paul uses this sweeping epic language and these metaphors that even today, I think we can relate to when he talks about adoption, when he talks about redemption. I think they paint a very vivid picture for us of what the gospel, what it looks like. And so,
but yeah, well, that's part of it, though. There's the whole counsel of God, meaning not just. Well, I had a professor one time explain why, you know, one of the benefits and one of maybe God's reasons for having four different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that it's like a fire, like a campfire. You have people sitting around it. We have four guys sitting around in a circle and around a campfire. It's all the same fire, so there's no contradictions, but there's four different perspectives on it. And so when you get all four views, they're not contradictory views. They're just complementary in the sense that they add to and fill in the whole story. So the whole counsel of God to me is that each book of the Bible and each section of the book of every book of the Bible contributes uniquely to the whole story of the gospel, the fullness of it. And if we only go to those favorite places, those key verses, oftentimes taken out of context, we end up missing a lot of the color and flavor and fullness of the Bible and of the gospel and really of what God's doing in Jesus. So mm-hmm. I think it's important.
Jason, talk about how Ephesians is split between the first three chapters and the second three chapters.
Yeah, so Ephesians is six chapters. First three chapters are more doctrinal focused with an emphasis on what God has done in Jesus, what he has planned and in the Son and what he worked through the Son. And we often call this the indicatives. It's just the statements of truth about what Jesus has done. And then the last three chapters 4, 5, and 6, are more practical in nature, focused on the outworking of those doctrinal truths that are foundational in the first three chapters. So that it's, we call this the imperatives. What are we to do based upon how are we to respond to this glorious truth, these riches of God's grace that we see laid out so beautifully in the first three chapters. It's not as though that there's no practical application in the first three and that there's no doctrine in the second, the last three, but more that there's a main emphasis on each of those big sections. And Paul does that not just in Ephesians, but in some of his other letters as well.
And one of the things that I love about Ephesians, because I'm the prayer guy at Piney Ridge Church.
Prayer Yoda.
Is that there are two of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible, in Ephesians, the end of Ephesians 1 and the end of Ephesians 3. And I think that they can be great models for us as pastors pray for the people in our church and pray for each other. But it's not just for pastors. It's for everybody, for dads and moms, how to pray for their kids and mm-hmm. how to pray for their friends. It's not prayers
how to pray for
that,
ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. It's not prayers for getting a new job or being healed of some sickness or things that are
transitory, things that are...
Which isn't necessarily wrong to pray for.
No, it's not wrong to pray for those, but Paul's prayers are beautiful prayers that that their hearts would be enlightened to see the glory of God, to behold God for who he is, and in Ephesians 3, to understand and comprehend the love of Christ. And if, you know, those are they're great prayers, as you said, Nathan, to pray for ourselves, to pray for our families, to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And, boy, I think they're just great model prayers for us to learn from.
I think they're helpful, too, because you're naturally going to pray about felt needs, what you feel you need at the moment, and maybe sometimes what feels more urgent, not what is most important or what is a bigger deal. And so sometimes reading Paul's prayers help us too. And in Jesus' prayer that he gives to disciples in Matthew 6 is kind of the same idea. It helps you pray for things bigger beyond yourself that you often, or for even for yourself, that you normally naturally wouldn't think to ask for.
And because I can never remember what it is, Jason, tell us what the theme for our Ephesians series is going to be.
So first, okay, every time we go through thinking through the title or the phrase we're going to have for a book, it takes a while because we all have different ideas and it gets hammered out over a long period of time. And and sometimes they're too long, and this one was too long. So we shortened it down to the riches of God's grace in Christ. I'll say that again, the riches of God's grace in Christ. And there's reasons for each of those words, kind of a loaded thing.
What's the reasoning behind the main title of Ephesians?
You mean the riches of God's grace in Christ?
Well, I noticed on the graphic the main title was the word Ephesians.
Oh, Ephesians.
Yeah.
Yes. It's because it was actually... you'll have to read the worship book. I know it's going to get deep here. You have to read the intro of the worship book, maybe to get a little bit more of this. But the letter of the Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, was probably not written solely for the Ephesians, but for many different cities and churches in Asia Minor at the time. So, but it was also maybe primarily or at least first delivered to the Ephesians, and so. That's why Ephesians. Mm. Okay. There's Christians in Ephesus.
Brian.
To go back to talking about preaching the whole counsel of Scripture.
We can't go back. We have to keep going forward. Just kidding.
So two questions. One, for people who are newer to Pioneer Ridge Church, talk about what expository preaching is, because that is one of our distinctives. Mm-hmm. And two, in light of what expository preaching is, some people might ask, well, if you're going through a book verse by verse, how are you preaching the whole counsel of Scripture? It might seem like you're focusing in on one book, one theme. And so, what is expository preaching, and how do we preach the whole counsel of God in expository preaching?
Nathan.
Yeah. Well, expository preaching, the simplest way I think I've explained it to people is to think about the word expository. It sounds a little bit like expose, and it's exposing what
as is opposed to supposing.
There and yeah, there you go. Right. We're exposing, not supposing. So what is there
so is that helpful?
In God's word?
Yeah. Next question.
Simple for those who are not simple-minded. That would be that explanation. yeah, so it is looking to God's word to see what God has written for his people and then explaining it. There are parts of Scripture that are harder to understand, so explaining it and helping people to see how it is relevant and that it is relevant to their lives, even though his words were written 2,000, 3,000 years ago, more. And then helping them see how it applies in their lives. And so it is not taking a message that we have and finding some verses in Scripture to support that message. But
or at
it
least
is,
it seemed to support it.
Right, or seem to support it. But it is looking to God's Word to tell us what God wants to say to his people and then giving that message to God's people.
But underneath that, there's actually a belief, what we believe about the Bible and what we believe about preaching in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, not just expository preaching, but what we believe that, because people would ask, you know, somebody could say, well, why do this? Why spend so much time on this really ancient text? Even if it has, you know, there are Chinese proverbs, you know, with fortune cookies that have, could have application to my life. So why this book? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Steve?
You want me to talk about fortune cookies?
Yes. Yes. Why is the Bible better than fortune cookies?
Yeah, because it's the inspired word of God. And the word of God is active and alive and sharper than a two-edged sword. And
it's a Bible verse.
And so the power of God is in the word of God. And so we preach from the word of God. And so I don't know if I answered your question, but as Brian was talking about, how can we say that we're preaching the whole counsel of God's word? When we're focusing on one book for what, 10 months, 11 months, we'll be in Ephesians.
Yeah, about.
And I've made fun of Jason and Nathan before about cutting it down to so few verses each Sunday. I make fun of them saying we're going to have a 25 week series of Jude next. But you know, Ephesians is so rich. It's so rich that, even when you're just preaching from three or four verses, there's so much there that needs to be cut into those small pieces just so that we can get as much of the richness out of it as we can. But I think there's two answers to the preaching the whole counsel of God's word. One is that we try to, over a long period of time, preach from the different genres of the Bible, and we try to have some series from the New Testament, Old Testament. We've had history, where we've preached from Genesis, and now we've had wisdom literature. Mm-hmm. We've preached a gospel, John. We preached
Sermon on the Mount.
Also, we preached from 1 Peter and 1 Timothy, and now we're doing, I guess this is the first epistle.
We also did a prophet. We did Jonah, very first book. Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're back to another epistle of Paul's.
There's a lot of those, though.
And someday we hope to preach a series from Psalms.
Yeah.
And Hebrews. Yeah. Steve. And Revelation.
So, you know, over time we will preach from all different parts of the Bible. Plus, I think the second answer to that is often the best commentary, or actually maybe not often, the best commentary in the Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
And so while we are preaching from the book of Ephesians, I'm sure that we will preach from all over the Bible in that series. So
yeah, so I think practically you could preach from one book of the Bible your entire life and still preach the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God refers to the fullness of the gospel story. So there's no possible way that we could mine out of, expose every part of any verse. Like the truth that's in there and what it connects to, relates to, and how it applies in different ways is endless. I don't think any of us are capable or gifted enough to be able to do that. So theoretically, that's possible, but you have to be taking in. So every preacher should be reading the Bible, not just that section they're preaching. Because you're bringing in other aspects, whether it's explicitly, hey, there's a story in Genesis, or there's a story in, there's a verse in Jude or whatever that applies here, or even just if it influences you. So the rest of the Bible that the pastor, the preacher is reading, should be influencing how they preach, so that they're preaching the whole counsel of God from that one book. Mm-hmm. But you have to be very intelligent and gifted to do that from one book, and I don't think any of us are capable or willing to do that. And there is benefit of preaching through every book of the Bible, so that is our goal for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably time to wrap this episode up, but did anybody have any last thoughts that they wanted to speak out about Ephesians? No.
I'm excited about it.
I am too. I can't wait to get started. I think it's going to be a huge blessing. I know that I'm going to learn so much. I pray that God will be glorified in the preaching of Ephesians, but I also pray that even as Paul prayed, that the eyes of our hearts will be open to see more of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ through these words that Paul wrote to the Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I think that preaching the book, every time I've read a book or even studied a book of the Bible and then had the opportunity to preach and or hear the preaching of it, I always get more and blessed in greater ways, because there's something about taking, you know, 20 plus hours studying a passage and then proclaiming it or hearing it proclaimed that makes it fuller. And it's not just because that person's studying, which is, we talked about, the whole thing of preaching is this mysterious, wonderful combination of God supernaturally, sovereignly, graciously working through a jar of clay with all surpassing power to do something that we can't do on our own. So no matter how many hours we put in studying, we are still dependent upon God to do his work. And so I'm excited for God to be doing his work in the next several months.
Yeah, and we want to encourage all the people in of Piney Ridge Church to be praying that that the eyes of their own hearts will be opened to see the glory of God, and ask God, pray with confidence that God will do a tremendous work in the hearts of the people and in the community of Wentzville through the preaching of Ephesians, because God is and will do immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly more than all we could imagine.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.